I thought it was a huge success. You know, first camp, I got that out of the way. You know, it's definitely different from a college training camp, but it's also worthwhile. You know, you get to spend a lot of time with the guys, get to know each other, kind of find out a lot about your team. And I think, you know, 10, 15 years from now, I'll still remember my first NFL training camp.
Film, what kind of things did you learn from the other night? Anything in particular right away that jumps out?
You know, tempo is important. I thought our tempo was extremely good, even on the two drives that we went three and out on. I think getting to the line and kind of pressing the defense to make sure that they're ready at all times for whatever we're going to bring is going to be something that we can use to our advantage. In the limited time that we played, I thought the guys did a great job. Offensive line played well. That's what I pulled from the game. You know, my personal how I did in the game, I thought I did okay. Threw the ball well. You know, but other than that, with, you know, the six passes that we threw and all the runs, I mean, I made the right run checks. By no means was I perfect, but I thought it was a great first outing.
What did you take from that you want to build on, you want to see change or improve?
Oh, you know, you just got to play more. I mean, it's hard to pull from 14 plays. Hey, I need to work on this, this, and this. You know, I thought I did a good job of going through my reads. The receivers did a good job of getting their depth on the routes, making sure that they were showing up in the right spots at the right times, and did a good job running after the catch. So I thought everybody did really well. We threw in some screens in there, some short games, some play-action pass, all within those 14 plays, and for the most part, it was all successful.
Robert, in those 14 plays, you targeted Pierre on four of the six passes. You guys really starting to form a little bit of a chemistry or bond, the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, we came in together, and, you know, we're looking to grow together as a quarterback and receiver. So, of course, I'm going to have chemistry with him. Hopefully I can have that same type of chemistry with Santana, Hankerson, and the rest of those guys as well. So it just so happens that he got targeted more times than everyone else, but it's not like we were calling designated plays or for Pierre. We were just calling our base plays, going through the reads, and it just so happened that his number popped up.
What impresses you most so far about him?
Just his tenacity after he gets the ball. I think everybody could see that, his enthusiasm when he jumped in the end zone. So, you know, he's a talented guy, very strong. You know, he's confident going across the middle because he knows that nobody can really punish him because of his body build and the amount of work he puts in the weight room. So he's definitely an explosive receiver, got great hands, downfield speed, and he's big and tough. So I think he's got the total package.
One of those completions to Pierre, you were under center in an eye. How would you describe your comfortability with dropping from under center, and obviously it was successful that one time?
Yeah, I think it's getting a lot easier for me. I think, you know, our quarterback coach, Matt LaFleur, has put it the best way today. I'm getting more and more comfortable with everything each passing day, whether it's from the shotgun or under center. Of course, I feel more comfortable in shotgun because that's what I'm used to, but I think the drop back game from underneath center is definitely something that I'm getting better at. It's not necessarily something that I'm working to get better at. It's just it's going to come as the days go on, and the more I do it, the better I'll get at it, and I felt comfortable in the game.
Evan Royster said he was pleasantly surprised by an audible you made. Do you remember what play he was talking about?
Yeah, we had a naked or a keeper on, and they were bringing weak side pressure. So instead of keeping into the weak side pressure, I just audible to a run play. So, of course, he's going to love it when I audible to calling his number. But, you know, it's something that you have to get used to. I hadn't really audibled, you know, all that much in college. Most of our stuff was pre-snap. So we had pre-snap audibles, but once we got into the play, we were getting and going because we were running 90 plays a game. So those were our audibles. So it was good to get out there and do that.
I know it's been a few days, but could you just go back over what you were seeing and why that play meant so much to you to kind of get you in the flow?
You know, the thought never crossed my mind to run. So, you know, I went through my first three reads really confidently, knowing that the protection was going to hold up, that if I made that at some point or another, one guy's going to be open, because on a lot of plays, there's usually one guy that's wide open and everybody else is blanketed. So I went through the reads. The flat defender was outside of my first read, and the corner was taking away the second read down the field. So I came backside, and we high-load the backside hook player, And that all sounds real confusing, and I threw the ball to Pierre, so that's it.
With the audibles, what kind of things have they done to help you in those situations just to get more fluid and more comfortable with it?
Just talking about it. It's not that you walk to the line, you see a defense, and you're like, I got the perfect play for that defense. It's just certain calls that you have need to have audibles with them. And the coaches, I mean, that's a testament to them. It's not that I'm just the smartest guy in the world. They've done a good job of throwing the whole offense at me. And now that we're starting a game plan, they can kind of break it down and say, all right, well, if you get this specific look, you can audible to this play. And that's really helped me, you know, just to learn the offense first and then come back with the audibles instead of audibling to a play I've never run in my life. And you being confused out there. So they've kept it really consistent with the way that they've introduced me to the offense, and I feel really good about it.
Hey, Robert, with the you talk about getting, still getting comfortable coming back from under center, what are some of the things that, you know, that is taking, I guess, I don't know about adjustment is the right word, but some of the things that you're still getting used to coming out of being under center?
I think it's more with the just the straight drop back. Play action, I think everyone has done play action from under center. It's not the simplest thing, but it's definitely more comfortable for me to do play action from under or from the shotgun. It's just most of the strictly drop back passing. I don't know how to explain it. It's just something I haven't done in a really long time. I did a little bit at Baylor, and I did a lot in high school. So it's just something you have to get used to, getting your feet right from doing a drop full speed. And my full speed's different than other full speeds, so I gotta make sure I keep my feet right and keep my my technique sharp. So that's the one thing we've been working on, and I think asked Coach, I think we've done a good job of it.
Robert, how many of those plays did you go back down and look at and realize, okay, maybe I could have done this, I could have done something different here, I could have done something better there, I could have done something. Your level of critique, did you find it to be fairly extreme, or were you pretty evil-handed on yourself?
I mean, I think I'm my worst critic, my hardest critic. And, you know, in the game, like I said, in the 14 plays that we got, there wasn't anything that stuck out. Hey, I could have done this differently. Hey, I could have done that differently. But in practice, there's definitely moments like that where you say, hey, maybe I should have made this throw instead of that throw. I think it happens more in practice than it does in the game, or it did in the Buffalo game. And hopefully it'll be the same way against Chicago.
Robert, was it weird to get a drive going and then you're done for the night? I mean, in college, it would have just been – getting going, and
yeah, you build momentum, and then they're like, all right, you're done. And you know, it was unfortunate, but I understand that it's preseason, and you know, they wanted us to put a touchdown drive together. Not saying that we would have kept going until we scored, but they wanted to see that. They wanted us to feel that momentum, feel how good we can be if we're all clicking on all cylinders. And we did that. So, you know, I think everybody was satisfied. And the joy that I saw in the team on the sideline after we scored that touchdown, after Pierre scored on that screen, was unbelievable. So the defense was extremely excited. So that's why I say I think it was, it helped the team become more confident, knowing that what they're seeing in practice isn't just a fluke, that, you know, we can go out and be successful as an offense and that I can help lead this team.
When you score, you get a somersault?
Huh?
When you score, you get a somersault?
No, I'm not going to somersault.
How you were handling the expectations and the pressure, but how do you perceive that your teammates are handling now that the hype is even off the charts from the one preseason game?
I think the one thing we know is that we have to handle what's on the field. The expectations and the hype and all the excitement, I think that's good. To see the fans come out here and support their team, I think guys feed off of those types of things. So I don't think it'll be a burden to anybody. I don't think the team feels like there's any pressure. But, you know, of course people are going to throw expectations out there. But last time I checked, they still have us, you know, fourth in the NFC East. And not that we care, but we're going to go out and try to make sure that we're not, you know, fourth.
You've dealt with lots of media in your life. You won the Heisman Trophy and so forth. Yet here, you've obviously, the Redskins have gone to great lengths to protect you, and you know, you talk to us once a week and so forth. I mean, how much of an adjustment is that for you, or is that, do you care one way or the other?
I mean, I love talking to you guys, and you know, it's great every single time. You know, but that's Coach Mike's decision, and he wants me to talk to you guys once a week, so I'm talking to you guys once a week. And it's, the biggest thing is you know, I'm the quarterback. I have to be the face of the team, the face of the franchise, and I think we all understand that. So it's not that one guy's getting more attention than another guy. They all know that if I'm getting a lot of attention, that means we're doing it extremely good on the field. So You know, when people say, do I care about the fame? Is it going to bother me if it continues to increase? Well, we want to play well. I want to play well, so it's going to increase, and we're looking forward to that.
Robert, what made you look at maybe Santana and Josh and Pierre sort of that as a security blanket for you a little bit, that they've been around and they have some experience, and that you would maybe go to them sort of for advice and look for them first?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to do those types of things because you don't want to pre-snap and say, hey, I'm throwing it to Santana if I get in trouble. It's just something that comes about with the flow of a play. You know, if a play breaks down, you know, Santana's, you know, has more experience with following a quarterback. It's just, you know, certain things like that that can help you out. And you can go to those guys, and in certain situations they can tell you, hey, you might need to want to do this. You might want to do that. And I think it's just we've all been growing together because there's certain things that I do that other quarterbacks don't do, and they're getting used to that. And I'm getting used to just having them on the field and being able to play with some guys in that like Santana who might be a legend someday.
You didn't get touched in Thursday's game. When was the last time you were actually tackled? And the question is mostly about getting into football shape, you know, getting hit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hit in practice. Not that Coach Mike likes that, but I've been hit in practice a few times and gone down. But I haven't been hit since our bowl game back at Baylor and the Villar-Alamo Bowl. So I haven't been hit since then. And hopefully if we can keep that trend going, I'm fine with that. But if I have to get hit by the Bears, then that's, so be it.
Robert, what made your connection with Kendall Wright so special? And is there anything you can draw from that here when you're trying to establish the same kind of chemistry with a guy like Pierre?
Yeah, I mean, Kendall reminds me of Pierre, or you could say Pierre reminds me of Kendall, however way you want to put that. Just their attitude, they're so competitive. Pierre doesn't want to let anybody beat him in anything. Tic-tac-toe, you know, jacks, doesn't matter what it is. He wants to win. So, and Kendall was the same way. You know, they're built a little bit differently. Both speedy guys, quick twitch. But I definitely feel like my relationship with Kendall and how we grew at Baylor is going to help me grow with Pierre here in Washington.
Robert, I got to ask, as a fellow Baylor graduate, how are you making the adjustment from Waco, Texas to Washington? And how do you like Washington, living in the nation's capital?
I mean, it's great. You know, it's I got to tell the team, I feel like I've been in a movie. Because, you know, outside of my house, you know, I walk out one Saturday and there's kids selling lemonade on the side of the street. And, you know, it was funny to me because I've never experienced that. And then next thing you know, someone knocks on the door, brings a goodie basket. So, you know, those types of things have been great. But I haven't experienced the city that much. I'm not really a big city guy. I really don't do too much. I can, you know, sit at home and have fun and be content for the rest of my life if I needed to. But hopefully, you know, once DC starts popping, because this team's doing extremely well, we'll all be able to enjoy it.